It's nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, we are your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where the temperature has shot up to 39 degrees. Out at the airport, they are showing northwest winds to 10 miles per hour and 10 miles of visibility, as well as 82% humidity. Look for a 20% chance of rain today. Mostly cloudy skies, high near 41, southwest winds to 5. A chance of rain before midnight tonight, then rain and snow is likely. Cloudy skies overnight with a low around 34, southwest winds becoming completely calm after midnight. Little or no snow accumulation is expected overnight. And rain tomorrow too, mainly before noon, with a high near 40 tomorrow and light and variable winds turning to the south to 15, could gust as high as 25 tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, the statewide Marine Highway System Advisory Board has advised spending more money to revamp the system, but labor shortages could hinder that effort. And kindergartners in Juneau have been practicing with paper violins.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. U.S. government prosecutors allege one of the biggest financial frauds in American history was run by the disgraced cryptocurrency executive Sam Bankman-Fried. NPR's Alina Selyukh reports the founder of the FTX crypto exchange is facing charges of fraud and conspiracy for allegedly misusing customers' money.
Sam Bankman-Fried is facing criminal charges from the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York and civil charges from the top U.S. financial regulators. Prosecutors allege Bankman-Fried lied to both investors and customers of his FTX exchange, funneling money from FTX into his own hedge fund called Alameda, using it to pay off debts, buy real estate, and make political contributions in violation of campaign finance laws. Last month, when FTX collapsed, investigators say customers lost more than $8 billion. Bankman-Fried was arrested Monday night in the Bahamas, and he's expected to be extradited to the U.S. The investigation is ongoing. Alina Selyukh, NPR News.
A group of GOP-led states has asked a federal appeals court to pause a judge's ruling that would end pandemic-era restrictions at the southern border. NPR's Joel Rose reports those restrictions, known as Title 42, are set to end next week.
Republican attorneys general from 19 states filed an emergency motion with the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals late Monday night. They're asking the court to stay a federal judge's ruling that found the Title 42 restrictions unlawful. The Title 42 policy, first put in place by the Trump administration, has allowed immigration authorities to quickly and repeatedly expel migrants without giving them a chance to seek asylum. The Biden administration says it's preparing for the restrictions to end on December 21st, at a time when border apprehensions are already near record highs. The states are asking the appeals court to rule on their stay request by this Friday. An appeal to the Supreme Court could be next. Joel Rose, NPR News.
Federal scientists have, for the first time, succeeded in generating more energy from fusion than they used to start the process. Reaching this milestone took decades. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm describes the implications for combating climate change.
If we can advance fusion energy, we could use it to produce clean electricity, transportation fuels, power heavy industry, so much more. It would be like adding a power drill to our toolbox in building this clean energy economy.
The demand for heat is expected to keep climbing as a powerful winter storm sweeps more than a dozen states this week. The central and southern U.S. today and by Thursday the East Coast. The National Weather Service is warning of more heavy snow, blizzard conditions, strong winds, and ice in the northern plains and upper Midwest. Residents in the south face severe thunderstorms that produce excessive rainfall, floods, and tornadoes, at least two of which have been reported in North Texas and Oklahoma. From Washington, this is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The statewide advisory board to the Alaska Marine Highway System voted on December 2nd to spend more in 2024. But as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, labor shortages could hamstring the effort to improve service after years of cost cutting.
The nearly $160 million approved by the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board would allow all but one of the state's nine ferries to sail during the busy summer tourism season. One vessel would be kept idle to fill in during maintenance layups. The board's unanimous vote comes ahead of the anticipated release of the governor's proposed budget. That'll be a starting point for lawmakers, who will consider the state's overall spending plan when the state legislature convenes next month.
We're talking an entire calendar year away before this would even be in effect.
That's Rob Carpenter, Deputy Commissioner of the state's Department of Transportation. He works closely with the ferry board. The board's 2024 budget recommendation is more costly than the last 5 years. It would be about $14 million more than 2023, but have 27 less service weeks. The operations board was created by the legislature last year to make recommendations to the Marine Highway System. The board has talked extensively over the past several months about the need for improvements.
There are a lot of people, a lot of communities who feel that promises have been made with regard to the Alaska Marine Highway System, that they believe those promises have been broken.
The ferry system is in a very dire, dire straits right now at the moment.
That's board members Captain Keith Hillard and Juanetta Ayers in September. At the board's meeting this month, they considered four operating plans for 2024, each with a different price tag and number of ferries. Plan A would have all nine vessels running. Plan D would be a reduction in service. Plan B and C were in between. Board Chair Shirley Marcourt said she supported Plan B.
And Option B, I think, is really justifiable in terms of going to the legislature.
The state's marine highway system has been suffering from a labor shortage. In February, the state contracted with a job replacement company to help hire new people. Board member Paul Johnson questioned whether the system would have enough staff to crew the eight vessels in Plan B. Deputy Commissioner Carpenter was optimistic.
We're still aggressively pursuing all the hiring we can. And, I think we have to budget or plan for that. We have full crew and then adjust as necessary when we get there.
The board unanimously supported Plan B for the 2024 operating plan. It's expected to have no service gaps. The recommendation will be sent as a letter to the DOT Commissioner's office. It will also be included in the board's short-range plan. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
A commercial building in Wasilla exploded Sunday afternoon, likely due to a natural gas leak, according to Alaska State Troopers. Troopers wrote in an online statement on Monday that one person was injured and listed in critical condition at a local hospital. The blast damaged nearby homes, and residents could feel it 10 miles away or farther, according to eyewitnesses and accounts on Facebook. A woman who identified herself on Facebook as the wife of the owner of the Connoisseur Lounge, a cannabis retail shop, wrote that the injured man was a contractor checking on some new construction that was part of the business. Troopers did not name the business, but agency spokesman Austin McDaniel confirmed it was a total loss.
The building that the explosion originated from was completely destroyed, and there was some significant damage to some other structures there on that same property, and then some pretty minor damage to some structures that were on some nearby properties as well.
McDaniel said investigators with the state fire marshal's office continued to investigate what caused the explosion, but evidence at the scene and interviews indicated a gas leak. The owners of the Connoisseur Lounge did not immediately respond to an email or a Facebook message seeking comment. Some kindergartners in Juneau have been learning the violin and an Alaska Native language at the same time. The instruments they've been learning on are made of cardboard, but they had their first recital last week, backed up by older kids playing the real things. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry has this story.
The older students are playing real instruments, but the kindergartners play cardboard models. For them, this is a graduation of sorts.
That is a rite of passage to say you're ready to hold the real one, because they will drop it.
Lori Hagee helped lead the Juneau, Alaska Music Matters program. She says the violin lessons have been going on for over a decade now, but the Tlingit language part is in its second year.
It's not only a pedagogical tool, but it's a culturally responsive practice to be singing.
She says the program gives teachers an opportunity to make their curriculum more place-based and more reflective of Tlingit culture. Her language teacher, Ku Yek Robbie Littlefield, helps with the lessons over Zoom.
When a teacher needs a help with a phrase or something new or correct their pronunciation, I'm right there and they just turn to the screen and say, Kuchik, Ayahakwa, is it like that?
Kukitsi, George Holly is a teacher and musician and a composer. Hagee asked him to help write the music for the program.
I didn't have to think twice about that. So I became part of that, started to write music to various poems and words of the various elders and Lance Twitchell. And it's been a beautiful thing to see these children absorb it in such an easy and respectful and joyful way.
He also conducts the performance. On command, the kindergartners raise their paper violins to their chins and bow the imaginary strings with paper towel tubes. At the end of each song, they beam up at the applause. Next semester, these paper violinists will be fit for real instruments and start learning to play. They already have a head start on the language. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
The Kenai Peninsula got nearly 2 feet of snow in some places last weekend, but experts say it's hard to tell exactly how the storm stacks up with others. KDLL's Sabine Pooks explains.
There was so much snow on the central Kenai Peninsula Monday that Beeman's Variety Store did something it almost never does.
We've been open 34 years, I want to say now, that we have never taken a snow day.
Owner Steve Beeson says he decided to close the Soldotna store Monday morning since the parking lot wasn't plowed and employees felt unsafe driving in. It's more snow at one time than he's seen in his 4 decades plus on the Kenai Peninsula. He measured about 20 inches in his yard Monday.
The most I ever remember was 12 inches.
Much of the Kenai Peninsula ground to a halt. Forecaster Eric Druitz with the National Weather Service says as of 11 a.m. Monday, communities along the coast of the Kenai Peninsula had between 20 to 25 inches of fresh snow.
So the most snowfall, it looks like, occurred on the west coast of the Kenai Peninsula along Cook Inlet.
Inland, those totals were lower, between 15 and 20 inches. But it was still the most snow South Central seen in a while, by most accounts, including Druitz, who has worked at the service since 2019.
Definitely the best snow event I've seen since I started here.
It's hard to find the data to back that up. Many sites around Alaska don't keep consistent snowfall records year to year, including Kenai. That's because the Weather Service used to have local citizen observers who took daily snow measurements in communities around Alaska, the old-fashioned way, says Brian Bretschneider, a climatologist with the National Weather Service Alaska region. He says that changed when the Weather Service brought in a new automated weather system 2 decades ago.
Once you put in an automated system, you know, you didn't need someone to go look at the thermometer every hour. Equipment did all that. What we found is equipment is really poor at measuring snowfall and snow depth.
In 1998, snow measurements at the Kenai Municipal Airport stopped. Today, citizen measurements are more infrequent.
It is ironic, especially for Alaska, that, in the land of, snow, we have less information about snow, really, than we ever have in the past.
Anchorage still has a human meteorologist who takes daily snow depth measurements multiple times a day. Druitz, the forecaster, says this month so far has been one of the snowiest Decembers on record for the city. It got 22.4 inches of snowfall between December 1st and December 11th, according to measurements taken at Ted Stevens International Airport. That data point lags only behind 1998, when Anchorage saw 27.2 inches in that same span. And Druitt's also says Anchorage is having one of its wettest years on record. While snowfall data accounts for the inches of snow on the ground, measurements of precipitation account for how much water the areas received if the snow had fallen as rain.
So year to date, we're now in first place.
Brett Schneider says those inches of water matter. He says the amount of moisture South Central saw was higher than usual in this storm.
So this snow actually weighs more than most 20-inch snows because of the high water content.
He says snow loading could pose an issue to homeowners later in the season as snow continues to build on roofs around the state. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
For the third year in a row, a group of Alaska producers have put together a compilation of original holiday music to benefit women's shelters across the state. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more on the festive fundraiser.
When it comes to classic holiday songs, there are some that are just impossible to top.
How do you beat the stuff from like the 50s? No, you can't.
That's why producer James Glaves says the Alaska artists on this year's Bright Lights album aren't trying to rehash the classics. Each song on the compilation is instead a fresh take on holiday music.
You can write about your alcoholic uncle who burnt the tree down if you want. You know, it's like, that's what I think is really great about it, is like, it's not about Jingle Bell Rock. It's about what people feel and what they think about the holidays, and the fact that there's dark songs, I think, is really cool.
Bright Lights Volume 3 is a holiday music album featuring original songs from Alaska artists, and it's also a fundraiser for domestic violence shelters in the state's rural communities. The project is in its third year. Glaves, who lives in Anchorage, mastered this year's album. And the producer has roots in Soldotna and Kisilov, where he says he grew up in a house that loved music. He started jamming when he was a student at Kay Beach Elementary School.
Got my first drum set, got my first guitar, even though I wanted a four-wheeler. I was, you know, peninsula kid. My life would have been probably much different if I would have gotten that expensive four-wheeler instead of the little red guitar under the Christmas tree.
He says from there, he became more and more obsessed with making music. Today, he's worked with artists in Alaska and beyond and put out solo and group projects of his own. He was brought onto the Bright Lights project in 2020, in its first year, by one of its founders, Nanilchik Rays musician Andy Tholberg. The group donated the proceeds from that volume to a nonprofit in Anchorage. And then the next year, they donated to a few smaller organizations, all of them shelters in remote communities like Bethel, Hooper Bay, and Kotzebue. Glaves says it was important to the group to bring attention to organizations in rural parts of the state specifically.
Most Alaskans understand that there is an unbelievable domestic violence problem in our state. A lot of people don't know that. At the very, very least, there's a few people who are going to see this and think about it for a minute.
He says the response so far has been somewhat small. He estimates they've raised between $1,000 and $2,000 a year. People donate what they can to buy each album on the website Bandcamp. Glaves says they're hoping for a bigger response this year.
We beat the sophomore slump. It's not some pipe dream kind of like, oh, we just threw this little thing together. It's the third year. It's real now, you know.
Volume 3 features songs from Strawberry Friend in Anchorage and the Casey Smith Project in Fairbanks.
And then Andy and myself, and I'd never contributed to it, so Andy and myself, we did a track which was really weird and fun. It's track 4, The End of Year Feeling. It's really, really dark, but it's, you know, it's super fun. We had a really good time making it.
Like the other 8 tracks on the album, the song is a fresh take on holiday music. All the songs on the album are originals. Glaive says he wants to change the stigma that today's holiday songs are trash.
No. This isn't bad music.
He says there's room to be creative, even within such a well-established musical tradition. Glaive says generally artists feel freer to make creative choices since it's holiday music and not their usual stuff.
I think that gives people a hall pass to just have fun, let their hair down, do whatever they want. And I think that's why the albums are turning out so awesome.
You can find Bright Lights Volume 3 on Bandcamp. Proceeds go to the Tundra Women's Coalition in Bethel, the Hooper Bay Haven Shelter, Aminac Women's Shelter, Bering Sea Women's Shelter in Nome, and Maniluk Family Crisis Center in Kotzebue. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Better-than-expected inflation report. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute. Consumer prices rose less than expected in November. The Labor Department today reported a 0.1% monthly increase. Prices were up 7.1% annually, which is the smallest increase since December of last year, and less than economists had forecast. The Securities and Exchange Commission today charged Sam Bankman-Fried with defrauding investors by promoting his now-collapsed crypto exchange FTX as a safe platform. The Justice Department also unsealed 8 criminal charges, including wire fraud and money laundering. United Airlines has put in a big order with Boeing, purchasing 100 787 Dreamliner planes, in part to expand international routes. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. Paid for by the Alaska Department of Health.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tuesday. It is the 13th day of December, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 9:46. It will set again at 4:21. That will give us 6 hours and 36 minutes of precious daylight. A loss of 1 minute and 17 seconds compared to yesterday. A record low for this date was 5 degrees, that was set in 1925, and a record high was 62, set in 1929. Currently, 39 degrees under overcast skies. Out at the airport, they are showing northwest winds to 10 miles per hour and 10 miles of visibility. Also, 82% humidity. The Weather Service is calling for a 20% chance of rain. Mostly cloudy skies this afternoon, high near 41, southwest winds to 5. The chance of rain between 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. tonight, then rain and snow after that. Cloudy skies tonight with a low around 34 and southwest winds to 5, becoming calm after midnight. Rain and snow is likely tomorrow before 7 a.m., followed by rain, high near 40. Little or no snow accumulation is expected. Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Our next high tide will be at 4:25 this afternoon here on the east side and be 8 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:21 p.m. of 6/10. And our morning high tide for tomorrow will be at 6:11 p.m. and be 6.6 feet here on the east side. Over on the west side, your next high tide will happen at about 5 p.m., 4:54 p.m. It will be a 12.2-foot tide in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at almost midnight, 11:45 p.m., a 1.2-foot tide, and your morning high tide in Larsen Bay will be at 6:25 in the morning and be 11.2 feet. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. The Women's Bay Service Area Board will be having its meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall. That's happening Tuesday, December 13th at 5:30 p.m. On Wednesday, December 14th, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, December 15th, the Assembly will be having a special meeting. That's happening in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And on Wednesday, December 21st, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having its regular meeting. That's happening in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. The next Assembly work session is scheduled on Thursday, December 29th, and the next regular Assembly meeting is scheduled on Thursday, January 5th. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side. Gale warning for tomorrow. Southwest wind to 30 knots today, seas to 13 feet. For tomorrow, south 25, increasing to 35 tomorrow afternoon, seas to 15 feet. For tomorrow night, south 30, seas to 18 feet. And on Thursday, southwest 30, seas to 19 feet. Over in the Chillicothe Strait, small craft advisory through tonight. For today, southwest increasing to 25 knots during the morning. I guess that's happened. Seas building to 8 feet by the afternoon. For tonight, southwest wind to 25 knots, becoming variable 10 this evening. Seas subsiding to 3 feet after midnight. And for tomorrow in the Chillicothe, northeast 20, seas to 5 feet. Turning to the south on Wednesday night, coming up to 30 knots, seas to 7 feet on Wednesday night in the Chillicothe. Well, come on by. Tonight's the night. It's KMXT's annual Christmas party. It's also a potluck, white elephant gift exchange, you name it. It's back, and you are invited. Stop by the station anytime after 6:30 p.m. tonight and join the festivities. We'll have some beverages, snacks, and potluck meals to share, and feel free to bring along anything you think you'd like to share, including a weird white elephant. Help us bring in the holiday season. You get to meet the staff, board, and some of our volunteers. And we'll have some good old-fashioned post-COVID fun. That's tonight, anytime after 6:30, and we hope to see you there. And while you're here, you can pick up one of the new 2023 calendars from KMXT because they are in. If you're a current member, stop by and pick up your free copy. Additional copies can be had for a mere $15. Non-members can pick up their copies for $20 each. They're absolutely beautiful this year. Thanks to all of the local photographers who submitted this year, and special thanks to those who had their entries picked for the calendar. It's a great gift idea for those of you who have people still on your shopping list. Stop by and pick up a handful anytime Monday through Friday between 10 and 5 p.m. Tomorrow, the Historic Preservation Committee will be having a meeting. That's happening at 5 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multipurpose room. The meeting is open to the public, and agendas and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. To request more information or paper copies of the packet, call the Kodiak Historical Society at 907-486-5920. The Kodiak Archipelago Regional Management Body for the Alaska Migratory Bird Co-Management Council, that's the AMBCC, will conduct its fall meeting on Thursday. That's happening from 5 to 9 p.m. The purpose of the meeting is to make subsistence harvest recommendations for migratory birds. Recommendations approved in this meeting will be advanced to the spring 2023 statewide AMBCC meeting. It will be held virtually via Zoom, so for the meeting link or additional information, please contact Kelly Kruger at kkruger, that's K-K-R-U-E-G-E-R, at shunak.org, that's S-U-N-A-Q.org. And don't forget, KMXT's annual Skate with Santa is coming up this Friday. Join us for a free open skate with Santa. Santa and his elves will be there. There will be hot cocoa for everyone, and Skate Shack will be open as well. Free skates for anyone needing them. That's this Friday, December 16th. It's Skate with Santa.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.